From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Chinook salmon runs in southeast Alaska were, for the most part, higher than predicted last year. And scientists are mostly forecasting that kings in the region will be well within their targeted runs this year. But as KRBD's Hunter Morrison reports, one river near Ketchikan is an exception.
Dwindling king salmon runs have been a concern across Alaska for decades. Researchers and stakeholders have pointed to everything from commercial trawling to climate change as reasons for the species' decline. But a recent forecast from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game paints a slightly more optimistic picture. State fishery managers predict Chinook runs this year in southeast will largely be within their escapement goals, or the number of Chinook that escape the fishery and return to spawn in rivers. Fish and Game's Southeast Fin Fish Management Coordinator Troy Tinas says some of this year's Chinook predictions are higher than last year's, which is a positive for the fishery.
We've seen some increases in Chinook salmon run of recent years, which is great. Our forecasts, at least in northern and southeast, are largely for meeting escapement goals for the various systems.
Forecasts are largely determined by data from past Chinook run sizes and harvest rates. The southeast forecast looks at five major rivers in the region: the Setuk near Yakutat, the Chilkat near Haines, the Taku near Juneau, the Stikine near Wrangell, and the Yunuk near Ketchikan. Preliminary data suggests that king runs in four of these rivers were higher than predicted in 2025. But that wasn't true for the Yunuk River, which saw about half the number of forecasted kings last year. State biologists are predicting that Chinook runs in the Yunuk will be at the lower bound of the department's escapement goals this year.
It's a million-dollar question on what's going on, but there's several factors across the salmon life cycle that can contribute to a lower escapement.
That's Nathan Frost, a Chinook research biologist with Fish and Game. He says factors like river conditions, food availability, and harvest rates can contribute to lower Chinook stocks. But Frost says changes in Chinook maturity is also a factor. About a decade ago, the number of 6-year-old and 5-year-old female Chinook spawners in the Beam Canal region in southern southeast was about 50-50. Now, Frost says 5-year-old females make up the majority of spawning Chinook. When those 6-year-olds are missing, he says the spawning population relies heavily on the 5-year-old females.
So if that brood year returns poorly, there's no second age class to buffer the run like we used to have with the 6-year-olds. So this also means that a poor escapement in 1 year can echo forward and affect your return 5 years later.
Just like last year, Frost says Chinook escapements on the Yunuk in 2020 were also low. And it's not just the Yunuk in southern southeast that didn't meet its Chinook escapement goals last year. Biologists estimate the Chickaman and Blossom Rivers were in the same boat. And the Keeta River's estimated king escapement last year was the lowest it's been since 1976. Tinas says the department is focused on Chinook management for these rivers and those that are forecasted to meet their escapement goals.
We're still in a conservation mode for many of these stocks as far as, you know, taking management restrictions, restricting our fisheries and keeping the harvest rates low.
Tina says research is ongoing to better understand Chinook survival throughout Southeast. He says more knowledge about the species and their escapement data can better inform management practices in the region. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Hunter Morrison.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
New research finds that as air temperatures rise with climate change, the water that flows through wetlands is warming too. As Avery Elfeld reports for the Alaska Desk, that could spell trouble for Pacific salmon and other species across coastal Alaska.
Before juvenile salmon make their way to the sea, they grow and feed in freshwater, including wetlands, like ponds and marshes. A team of researchers wanted to know more about those ecosystems and how they might fare amid rising global temperatures. Amaryllis Ady is a researcher at Virginia Tech and the co-author of a report published in December. She says they found that wetland water temperatures are increasing in step with the air and could surpass livable levels for salmon before the end of the century.
I've never really hoped so much that I might be wrong about that.
The researchers examined 9 years of data from 20 ponds near Yakutat and Cordova. Ady says the first step was examining air temperatures and comparing them to what was happening underwater.
In that kind of observed time period, we found that there's a really strong, positively correlated relationship. So as you had increasing air temperature, you had this response in water temperature where it's increasing at similar rates.
That's different from rivers and streams, which are warming at a slower rate than the air. That's because they're constantly moving and have a range of inputs, including glacial runoff and snowmelt, which can act as a buffer. Wetlands, meanwhile,
have more contact with the air because it's kind of more spread out across the landscape. And it's also going to be moving slower and so have more time to warm.
The next step was modeling what might happen in the future. The researchers looked at two possible scenarios. One was a future in which humans start decreasing planet warming emissions in about a decade. In that case, water temperatures would rise, but would be less likely to seriously endanger Pacific salmon. The second scenario, meanwhile, describes a future in which humans continue producing greenhouse gases at today's rate.
We found this like really drastic increase in water temperatures where it was like up to 22 degrees Celsius by the end of the century.
That's about 71 degrees Fahrenheit, which is really warm for these wetland ecosystems and dangerous, too. Coho salmon, for instance, stop growing around 68 degrees Fahrenheit, and death becomes likely once temperatures get just a few degrees warmer. Ady says it's possible that salmon would adapt by changing the timing of their migration or their habitat use. But if not,
they won't be able to continue to grow and survive in these systems that are very economically and culturally dependent on them.
The study looked specifically at two areas, the Yakutat Forelands and the Copper River Delta. But Ady says the results have far-reaching implications, including in southeast Alaska. She adds that other organisms, including algae and bottom-dwelling invertebrates, are also temperature-sensitive. That means warmer water could be felt by the entire food chain, ranging from different fish species to migratory birds. Reporting in Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Young fishermen from all over the state gathered in Juneau last week to absorb industry knowledge of previous generations. And as KTOO's Alex Solomon reports, some attendees are eager to build their own fishing businesses, despite the obstacles.
At the Hangar on the Wharf Ballroom in downtown Juneau, young fishermen are socializing. Quinn Branch is 17 years old. She says she traveled to the Alaska Young Fishermen Summit from Kodiak because her dream is to spend the rest of her life set netting on the island.
So my grandpa, who I've been fishing for 3 years now, works at set net site out in Kodiak. He sent me here pretty much because I want to take over the family business one day.
She says it's important for her to learn how to do that. She's got the fishing part down, but wants to understand the behind-the-scenes work, including filing taxes, applying for loans, and hiring staff. And she says she's connecting with role models at the summit who she looks up to.
I guess just getting to see other women who are doing the same thing, you know, the same passion and the same desire as I is pretty cool.
One of those women is Rowan Miller, a 24-year-old from Valdez who's starting her own fishing business. She says she's spent half of her life fishing for salmon on her dad's boat in Prince William Sound. And now she's buying a 50-foot steel seiner from a family friend. She says people keep asking why she doesn't just take over her dad's boat when he retires.
I'm like, no, I'm not going to wait that long. He's 58 now. I've got another 25 years to wait till he retires. So why would I do that?
She says some skippers she knows have fished well into their 70s and even into their 80s. Alaska's fishing fleet is aging out, and that's one reason why Alaska Sea Grant hosts the summit, to support the incoming generation of Alaskan fishermen. The organization started the summit in 2007 and hosts it every other year. The average age of a fishing permit holder in 2014 was 50 years old. That's a decade older than it was in 1980. And over that period, the number of young people holding permits dropped significantly. After the state limited entry into the fishing industry, hundreds of high-cost permits drained out of Alaska and were sold to out-of-state operators. That left many rural villages, historically reliant on fishing, without a fleet to support their local economies. Miller says seeing other young people at the summit is a good sign for the industry. But she says there are other obstacles that make buying into the industry feel like a gamble.
Between climate change and uncertain fish runs and uncertain markets with global things like tariffs and whatnot, there's just a lot of uncertainty going on, so it's a big leap of faith.
Along with learning how to run a business, Miller says she's also interested to learn more about what she could have a say in, fisheries policy. She says she wants to have a hand in shaping the future of the industry. And that's another goal of the summit, says Gabe Dunham, fisheries specialist at Alaska Sea Grant and the event lead.
How to engage with the public processes that influence their business, like the council process and the Board of Fish, and also how to interpret it, the science and the management around it.
Dunham says older, experienced fishermen volunteer to host sessions and pass on their knowledge. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.